Chapter 14. Buying a Second House. The story, too good to resist. My wife and I didn't own any properties in Florida at the time, but we wanted to. So during the long, slow, and economically depressed years after the global financial meltdown of 2007 to 2008, we went out and bought one. Our first property in America was a great one. It was a lot with two block houses on it that we paid just over $50,000 for. There were two tenants paying around $10,000 per year in rent, and the houses didn't really need any work at all. This is the property you read about in Chapter 12. The second deal we made in America is the one I want to tell you about now. It was scary, and it was not supposed to happen as quickly as it did, but given the opportunity we were presented with, we just couldn't resist. And looking back, I'm very glad we didn't. Here is the story of our second deal in America. Every time we drove to or from the first property with the two block houses, we'd drive past another place with a big for sale sign out front. It was listed with a local realtor who had been managing the properties for the previous owner, and he had decided he didn't want the place anymore. I could understand why. The houses were in rough shape with a yard that looked like a bomb had gone off in it. The sign read, "Three houses on three parcels for sale. Price, $180,000. It had a phone number for the realtor, a picture of their logo, and a bunch of mold growing all over it. The sign probably looked really good when it was new, but it definitely wasn't new anymore. To us, the worn sign meant that they probably had a hard time selling, and no wonder. $180,000 was a lot for these three rundown houses, compared to what we had just paid for the two houses down the street. These ones were on separate lots and had one more unit, but that was still a very ambitious asking price. Needless to say, we weren't interested at the time, so we stayed focused on the two we just bought and celebrated the victory of creating such a good cash flow on the initial $50,000 we had invested in Florida. Then something happened that ruined our celebrations a bit. A neighbor came by and told us he had heard the previous owner of the three houses next door was going to rent those places to some really shady people who didn't care about the poor condition they were in. He mentioned the previous owner was starting to give up on getting them sold and was desperate to create some kind of income from them. The idea of having a bunch of rough, semi-criminal people just two doors down the street freaked us out, and we knew we would probably have to do something to keep the neighborhood safe. The more we thought about it, the more we started to realize there was only one way out. We would have to buy those three houses, fix them up, and rent them to better tenants. A scary plan given we thought they were overpriced. After digesting the harsh truth of what was going on and what we felt we needed to do, we started to look at the pros of the situation. The properties had been for sale for a long time, and that meant we should be able to negotiate the price a bit. The three houses could also create a pretty good cash flow if we got them cleaned up and rented to some decent people. And we knew that could be done. Our property manager had just installed a really nice hardworking kid in one of our houses down the street. And then there was the fact that we were there and could do a lot of the work ourselves, unlike the current owner, who no one had ever seen. This should be doable. And another perk, we would own five rentals right next to each other, which tends to increase the overall value a bit. It does so because they get easier to manage when you don't have to fly halfway across the country. Buyers of rental properties usually appreciate that too, so having several properties next to each other can give a little boost in value. The next time we drove by, we knew we would have to call the realtor on the worn sign and start negotiating a deal. This was a scary endeavor, as we knew that would start some important negotiations that we really wanted to go well, so we had some money left for the massive renovations that would come our way. We would have a hard time walking away since we knew what would happen to the properties if we didn't buy them. A bunch of criminals moving in. There was nothing for it. We needed to make the call, and we needed to get hold of those properties. Our first mission was to make an appointment to see the houses. We wanted to know exactly what we were working with, and find some major concerns that we could bring up during the coming discussions about price. We stopped by the sign, my wife picked up her phone, entered the number and said, "Hello, this is Realtor Debbie." "Hello, I'm calling about a property you have listed. We own properties a few doors down and have been driving by your sign, so we'd figured we'd call. Is it still for sale?" I was curious and excited and started firing questions toward my wife. "So, what did she say? What's going on? When do we get to see the properties?" She looked at me with a bit of excitement and said, "The realtors have connections to the town and don't want him to rent those houses to the types of renters they would attract in their current condition. She would much rather see someone like us buy them and fix them up. We have a showing in a few days." We had another potential deal in the making. The meeting at the properties went well and we found ourselves getting more and more excited about potentially adding another 3 houses to our Florida portfolio. We knew these new houses would require a lot of work with their broken windows, flaky paint, worn flooring, rotten doors, busted kitchens and whatnot. But if we could get the price down just a little, that would cover a lot of those renovations. Who knows? We might even be able to get the previous owner to finance parts of the purchase. We went into the negotiations wanting to bring the price down at least $30,000 from the $180,000 they were asking. We were also hoping to get some help financing parts of it. A pretty aggressive approach, but we were hopeful since they hadn't sold it after such a long time. We started out tough, expecting some counteroffers. However, there were a few things that made this negotiation a little different from others. We were still in the backwaters of the biggest real estate recession of all time. The crash of 2007-2008 really hurt the market in Florida, and it left tons of investors scared to death. I had no idea how much of an effect something like that would have on some owners, especially ones trying to sell. Years on the market without any serious interest demolished their confidence, and that gave potential buyers astonishing negotiating power. We were now lucky enough to find ourselves being some of those buyers. We kicked off the discussion by asking what their rock-bottom price was and told them that we were not here to joke around. We need their best, and we need it right away so that we can move ahead. "Okay, it's $107,000. My wife and I looked at each other with eyes as big as golf balls. $107,000 was way better than we had ever imagined. "That's great. We can definitely live with that. So what about financing? We would like the previous owner to finance parts of the purchase so that we can spend our money restoring the houses." "Okay, the previous owner is prepared to loan you $80,000 with a 10-year amortization plan at 6% interest." "What? That's almost too good to be true." We decided to bring the deal to our real estate attorney and have him look through all the paperwork. It came back clean. That meant no more excuses. We could easily make more rental income on the properties than the cost of the loan, so it was time to jump. And we did. The investment ended up being great, giving good returns on a highly appreciating location. We had no problems finding good renters and had income from all 3 houses just 3 months after buying them. The discounts available in a bad real estate market are huge, and the old saying from the French Revolution couldn't be more true. You want to buy when there is blood in the streets, even if the blood is your own. It takes a lot of guts, but the potential upside can be huge. This little story about buying a second house ended up being a story about our second deal in Florida. Houses number 3-5 and a real estate venture that moved forward a little faster than anticipated, but it still shines a light on what it might be like to move ahead. And real estate has often been like this to me. Opportunities don't always take timing into consideration. When they are there, they are there. They don't wait for you. The story in numbers. It took a little more work than anticipated, and we have a little more maintenance than anticipated, but these properties are still performing well. Here are the numbers with it all rented. Monthly income. Rental income equals $525 plus $799 plus $650 plus $795 equals $2,796. We have one of the houses split like a duplex, hence the four rents. Vacancy loss equaled 5%. There have been a few short vacancies along the way. Total income equals $2,656. Monthly expenses, cost of owning the houses. Taxes equal $40. Repairs and maintenance equal $250. We have had to do a few repairs. Management fee equaled $0. We manage the property ourselves. Loan payments equal $799, including amortization. Insurance equals $40. Utilities equal $200. Trash, water, and electricity for the duplex. Lawn care equaled $180. Total expenses equal $1,509 per month. The houses create a monthly profit of $2,656 minus $1,509, equaling $1,147, which equals a yearly profit of $13,764. The cash-on-cash return is calculated by taking the annual cash flow, rental income minus expenses, and dividing it by the money invested in the property. In this case, that means the $107,000 minus $80,000, the part that was financed, equaling $27,000. We have then spent $20,000 on repairs. $27,000 from the purchase plus the $20,000 from repairs equals $47,000. The cash on cash is $13,764 divided by $47,000, equaling 0.292 or 29.2%. The facts. The beauty of building passive income is that it's infinitely scalable. If you manage to set up an initial rental property, you should also have managed to create a monthly payment to yourself. A payment that should keep on coming for years without requiring much of your attention. A deposit that will keep building up your bank account as long as you own the property. Pretty great, right? To me, managing to create that first passive income was amazing. So amazing that I soon decided I wanted more of it and set out to buy more houses. I think you should do the same. But before moving on and expanding your business, stop and appreciate what you have done so far. Look at your rental property. Make sure you are proud of it and that it is making you money. If your first rental property isn't performing, figure out why, go through the mud of fixing it and making sure it works before adding more to your portfolio. The number of people who believe expansion will solve their problems has always been strange to me. The way I look at it is that expanding something that doesn't work just gives you a bigger something that doesn't work. Make sure you have your first house running smoothly, then you will know that you are in a good place to expand. I have also heard a lot of people rejecting the idea of expanding because of the enlarged emotional workload. There is truth to that. With more tenants, there is a bigger chance of tenant-related issues. But I look at it another way. If you own one house in which your tenants stop paying rent and move in their 13 siblings with their pit bulls, then you have a problem with 100% of your properties, and that doesn't sound very good, does it? If you were to own two rental properties and one of your tenants stops paying rent and moves in their 13 siblings with their pit bulls, then you are only experiencing problems with 50% of your rentals, and that is significantly better than 100%. It gets better when you add even more properties. As a whole, I'd say the amount of tenants going rogue is between 5 and 20%, depending on the demographics you rent to. If you buy and rent 10 houses, you are very likely going to have problems with the tenants in one of them every year. It's not always like that, but be prepared for it. It's part of the game. The odds of having trouble with your rentals go up by adding more properties, but the size of the problem goes down. The best way to go about getting a second property is very similar to how you would go about getting your first one. Read this book from the beginning and do it all over again. Add a second rental at a location that gives you a good cash flow while maintaining a good appreciation. Add a second rental that you can enhance the value of a bit. add a second rental that you purchase in a clever way adapted to the current market you are in. Add a second rental and rent it to increase your passive income. Add a second rental to move closer to your goal of being completely financially independent. Add a second rental to increase your freedom. Just add a second rental. Action items. Keep your ears and eyes wide open. You never know when the next opportunity will present itself. Keep your mind sharp and avoid getting desperate. You don't want to buy bad properties or end up making bad deals. Figure out where the real estate market is and try to apply appropriate strategies as discussed in this book. Go out and search. Go out and find.